Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
My second time ever preaching on a Sunday morning here, so bear with me. I have a little bit of a cold, but I'm just going to go. I don't care about that kind of stuff. We have been experiencing some amazing things happening in Overflow Youth Group on Wednesday nights. We've really been praying that God would just shake the foundations of who we are and would just begin to raise disciples out of this place. And a while ago, I went to a prayer meeting in Seattle, and they spoke over us, me at that meeting, and said that our guys in our youth ministry were going to be the pillars of faithfulness. And so it's been kind of cool. So we've been praying and seeking, and God has been bringing about leaders in our youth ministry, been raising up student leaders that are starting to learn how to be disciples and are starting to go out and affect their environment. So it's really, really cool. But today I want to talk to you. FYI, I'm not very familiar with actually having to stay on the stage while I preach. So bear with me, because it's kind of, I'm so used to being down there like in people's faces. So, but if you're taking notes today, the title of the sermon is Help Wanted. And what I'm going to be talking today about is about the church. Okay, I'm the type of a person that as you get to know me, you'll discover that I kind of shoot off the hip. I'm a little blunt and a little real, so bear with me. I'm going to try not to be offensive or anything like that, but I love the church. I love everything about the church. If you ask my family, my world revolves around the church. I love what God is doing in the people of this church, but sometimes we get comfortable in the church. And we come in and we like to smile and we like to wave at people and, oh, hey, how's it going? And we get comfortable and we just come and we just attend church. But I can tell you that Jesus didn't die for a building. He died for people. Okay? He died for people. He came and gave life for people. See, the church should be about people. It isn't about gathering in a building and feeling comfortable and saying your amens and going on your way. It's about people. He didn't give his life for a building. He didn't give his life so we could get comfortable in this place. See, Zilla has a lot of orchards. Every season we see people out there that are cultivating and that are harvesting these orchards, pruning away things, preparing the season for harvest. FYI, kids zone right now. If you're a kid, you can go to kids church. They just flashed that up there for me. So kids, are they all in? They're all gone already. Way to prompt me wrong. Thanks. Okay, getting back in my groove. They're getting the orchard ready for its next season, making sure the sprinklers are on, making sure the garbage is picked up, making sure everything's weeded around those trees. And in Colossians 1:10, out of the Message translation, it says, "Be assured from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you a wise mind and spirit attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you will live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard." As you learn more and more about how God works, you will learn more and more in your life about how you're supposed to do his work. We are orchard workers. And those of you who call yourself a Christian are now working in his orchard. I really doubt that when you were growing up in elementary school, that when the teacher asked everybody, okay, what do you want to be when you grow up? I doubt that people raised their hand and said, I really want to be an orchard worker. Okay? Most of the time you said, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a nurse. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be that athlete. We didn't say, I want to be the one that picks the apples, because orchard working is hard. And the employees of orchard working a lot of times have a poor reputation because they're immigrants. But in John 15:16, the Message says that you didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you. And I put you in the world to bear fruit. Fruit that won't spoil. A fruit bearer, whatever you ask for in God relation to me, I will give you. You are to be in this world, but not of this world. So if you call yourselves a Christian, you're an immigrant. We don't belong here. We are here doing his work. Doing the work that no one else wants to do. In Matthew 9, verses 37, it says, "Then Jesus made a circuit to all the towns and villages, and he taught in their meeting places, reporting kingdom news and healing their diseased bodies, healing their bruises and their hurt lives. Then he looked out into the crowd, his heart broke. So confused and aimless were the sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest," he said to his disciples. "How few workers. On your knees and pray for the harvest." It's a tough job. And we all make excuses as to why we don't want to do this job. But one thing that an owner of a field always posts when he's looking for work is "help wanted, no experience necessary." No experience needed. But a lot of us make excuses as to why we can't do the work. You don't have to have all the answers. If you know the difference between what it means to be lost and then to be found, that's all you need. If you know that point to where you were lost and you were searching, and then Jesus captured your heart and he got a hold of you, you have all that it needs to be that orchard worker. Sometimes I think that we forget what it's like to be in that lost place. We find excuses. We don't know enough scripture. We can't pray in public. We don't know how to effectively communicate over a microphone. Every single one of you in this room, if you've given your heart to Jesus, you know what it's like to be lost and to be found. And a lot of people can question you. A lot of people can question your theology. A lot of people can question your doctrine. But one thing that they cannot question is a life transformed. They cannot question the power of God working in your life. If you're changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, no one can argue with that. But we continue to make excuses over and over again. God isn't asking you to own the field. He's just asking that you have willing hands. A lot of us, myself included at times in this room, want to be the chief, want to be the one in charge. You can ask my student leadership team. You can ask my staff. A lot of times I'm just, this is what we're doing. We're going to go for it. But I have to sometimes die to myself and understand that God hasn't called me to be the chief. He's just called me to have willing hands. He will train you. He will equip you. He will give you every tool that you need. There's a few requirements that come along with an orchard worker. And one of the ones that stuck out to me so much as I read this the other day, as I was looking up requirements, it says that you don't go when you're ready. You go when the harvest is ready. You don't go when you feel like it. You don't go when you come down to the altar and you fall it in the spirit and you're inspired for a month to do something. And so you go out and you start making a little rut. But then when you're done, you're just like, oh, I'm done. I'm bored with this. I'm going to go on my way. You don't go when you feel like it. You go when the harvest is ready. And so often we get really confused by this. The harvest is ready now. This last weekend, we went to Generation Unleashed with the youth group and with the school. And I wish that I could take video and it could capture the heart of what happens at this place. Because it is such a transforming experience every year. As you see, Poncho told us, Pastor Poncho is the youth pastor down there. He told us that there was, at our services, there was 4,400 teenagers there. And they had evening services where everybody worshiped. And it's the coolest thing you will ever experience. If you've ever been to a large conference, you've seen this before. But it's like a sea of hands. Just like lifted high and just praising God. And it's the most incredible feeling because they're all in one mind and one accord. And that's lifting our hands saying, God, use me. God, empower me. God, call me to do the work. I won't stay here and I won't do it when I feel like it, but I'll do it when you call me. We don't need to wait for the Holy Spirit goosebumps to come. We need to act now. See, I'm a natural born complainer. I'm a natural whiner. You can ask Billy, okay? When I was in his youth ministry, I had so many nicknames because I would complain and whine so much. And it was really funny because I was sitting back there this morning and Josh walked by me and he goes, "What's up, Crabby Abby?" Like, I haven't been called that in so long, but that's what I was called in the youth ministry. It's because I was just like always like complaining and, oh, it was never good enough for me and blah, blah. And one time even, and this is like, we do like rockathons every year. One year, they actually locked me out of the church because I was annoying them so much. So I'm a natural born complainer, okay? And I see all the news channels, okay? I read the same newspaper you do. I look at MSN online every single day. I see everybody's posts on Facebook about how distraught you are, about how this area is getting so bad and the Yakima Valley is just turning horrible and all this kind of stuff. And most of us want to take the first option and we want to complain. And we want to just be like, oh, well, Toppenish and Zilla, they're just whatever. They're going to the dump. You know, we can't do anything about it. But the thing is that we complain instead of actually acting. And so that fruit that's out on those trees waiting to be harvested is falling off and dying and rotting on the ground when we're sitting in here complaining. It's like we're just sitting on our hands and we're saying, I'm not capable. But the reality is that we're it, myself included. You're it. You may be the only one that certain people will ever come in contact with that need to hear the word of Jesus Christ. But a lot of times we sit and we call ourselves not worthy. We like the fruit, but not the labor. And a lot of us like to stand in the store and we like to pick that fruit up off of the produce section and talk about how good it is, but we don't like the work to have to get it. Will you be a laborer for Christ? Will you get your hands dirty with me? What happens when there isn't enough workers? The fruit begins to rot and die. We see it every day in gang shootings and teen pregnancy and homicides and teen trafficking. It's time that we begin to wake up our spirits to what's going on. In Yakima, and this blew my mind the other day. I was thinking about, there's human trafficking occurring in the Yakima Valley every day. There was an article in the paper about 2 weeks ago, and I showed a picture of a mom, and she was standing in an abandoned, empty room of a teenage girl. That girl has been missing for 4 weeks because she was human trafficked in the Yakima Valley. It's time that we begin to wake up. It's time that we begin to get our hands dirty. It's time that we begin to actually take on what it means to be a Christian and not just come in and say our amens. And I will be the first to tell you, I am so guilty of this sometimes. When I'm preaching, I actually have to live out. That sometimes I come in and I just go through the motions and I want to just worship and I want to just say my highs and whatever and just go out the doors and not do anything. But God has compelled my heart so much this year to actually get out there and to get my hands dirty and to invest into people's lives. Because when you invest into somebody's lives, it changes them. But we have to make that decision to actually get up and do something. Right in our area, robbery, teen pregnancies, STDs, domestic violence. See, in the Yakima Valley, we don't have a fruit problem, we have a worker problem. As I read further on the job description of an orchard worker, the first thing it says is that you have to be willing to carry a heavy load. If you're a Christian, you know what it means to carry a heavy load, and you have to be willing to actually carry it. Number two, it says you have to be willing to work in tough conditions. Have you ever driven past an orchard in the morning on your way to work or on your way to take kids to school or on your way to do whatever you're doing? It's about 7 a.m. and you see the icicles hanging off the tree branches. And then as you look further into the orchard, you see those workers and they're bundled up and their muscles are tight and they're stiff and they can see their breath. They've been out there since 4 a.m. and they're trying to get a hold of the harvest. They're trying to grab a hold of that harvest. They've been out there forever. They're trying to harvest those apples. That's the kind of conditions the orchard's workers work in. See, Zilla is kind of like a frozen orchard. Tough conditions and long hours, but well worth the harvest. Number three says you have to be willing to stand for a long period of time. Be real, a lot of us don't like to stand, okay? If we have an option to stand or sit, we're gonna sit, okay? We're gonna be lazy and we're just gonna sit there and be like, oh, this chair is really comfortable right here. I'm good. Like you can stand all you want, but I'm totally good with sitting right now. And we like to sit and we like to do nothing about what's going on. But it's time for us to rise up. Number four says, you have to take care of the trees as they are growing and in the growing process. Have you ever seen a baby tree standing in an orchard alone? No, because it collapses. What a smart orchard worker does is he puts support on both sides of that tree. He takes support posts and he digs them deep into the ground and he puts them on both sides of that tree with rope that's attached to it so that when the storm hits, when he gets weak because he's growing and he begins to bend and he begins to fall and he begins to break, those support beams pull it back up and lift it back up and hold it in its place. Are we being support beams for people around us? Are we that support pole that somebody can lean on when they feel like they're ready to break? Are we supporting people through the storm? Number 5 says you have to be willing to commit to the whole season. You don't get to quit. The owner of an orchard doesn't hire somebody that he knows is just going to walk in and walk right back out. Walk in and be like, oh, this looks too hard, and then just leave, okay? When they sign up to work in an orchard, you commit to the entire season. He doesn't want to hire somebody who's going to do half the job. He wants to hire somebody who's going to stay committed for the whole season. Number 6 says you're required to clean up the garbage around the orchard. It's your job to keep it clean. You don't like what you see outside these walls? Clean it up. I'm not just talking about trash on the ground. I'm talking about people who are on the ground. We've all been there at that moment in time when we don't feel like we can take it anymore. You guys have all been there in that moment of despair where you cry out to God and you say, God, I just can't do it anymore. And then you've had somebody send you an encouraging word, or you've had a phone call, or you've had somebody come to your house and say, you know, the Holy Spirit really put you on my heart tonight and woke me up in the middle of the night to pray for you. And you begin to lift that person up from their breaking point and apply those support beams and allow them to stand tall. Will you be support for people? I know you didn't make the mess, but it's part of the job description. Jesus didn't make the mess, but he cleaned up ours. Ministry gets dirty. Some of the most broken and restored people are key leaders in this church today, because someone was willing to pull and to stand when they were bending and when they were breaking. One thing of an owner of an orchard will do is he'll teach you how to carefully handle the fruit so it's not bruised or damaged. Because if you're too rough or you're too harsh with that fruit, you will damage it. A good owner will require that every piece of fruit is picked and brought into the warehouse, whether it is bruised or not. Do you know how fruit usually often gets bruised? It's by poor handling. It's by poor handling. So you can't just run up to a piece of fruit and that you're picking and throw it on the ground and then be like, okay, this is ready for warehouse. Okay, you have to handle an apple like you handle eggs, with gentleness, with kindness, with understanding, to walk with them through the process. See, it's really easy for us to get frustrated and really easy for us to get mad when people's lives are not transformed instantly. When they give their life to Jesus Christ, so for some reason we think it's supposed to be this dynamic change and everything's supposed to be the same. And I've seen people like that. We have people in our youth ministry that have given their life to Jesus and just completely the next day they're just completely different. They're sitting in this room now. But that's not always the case. Sometimes it's a process. But so often we get so unsatisfied and so angry and we want to just go out and yell at them that you need Jesus. You need to get saved. You're going to go to hell if you don't make this choice. Stop doing that drug because it's going to kill you. When reality is, we have to treat people like eggs, soft and gentle. If you're an orchard worker and you go out to a field and you come up to a tree and you just begin shaking that tree like crazy and you begin to yell at it, apples are going to begin to fall and they're going to begin to get bruised and they're going to begin to get damaged. But not only that, other apples will fall with it. How are you approaching people? How are you handling people? How are you dealing with people? A lot of us do that and we don't even realize it. We expect that immediate transformation, just like shaking that tree like crazy. But that's kind of the name where we get the name hypocrites, because we can talk the talk, but it's really hard to walk that walk. all of us have our ups and downs, and we have those great moments in our lives, and we have those struggles that we face. I see people's Facebook posts all the time of what you're struggling with, what's going on. And I read it, and I get the phone calls from your teenagers, and they get the prayer requests of, I'm falling apart because I made that stupid decision again. And I want you guys to understand that this is in no way a condemning message today. But what I'm saying is that there are people that are bruised, that are broken, that are damaged, that are outside of these walls. And we have to make a choice to not scream in their face every day, but to show them the love of Jesus Christ. We have to make that choice to stand with them. I hear people all the time in our youth ministry, teenagers are the biggest complainers ever. If something is not their way, they will complain. They'll sit in my office for 2 hours and tell me about everything I'm doing wrong because they think they know the right thing to say. And they tell me about how much they hate Zilla. And they tell me about how much they can't wait to just be graduated so they can get up and out of here. And I always laugh at them because the reality is most time they always come back. And most time they always raise their families here. I did the same thing. Exactly the same thing. But God has given me a heart for this place. But they talk about how much they hate the gangs. And this is the funny one. They talk about how much they hate the police. It's because they get caught for doing stupid stuff. For reals. But see, Zilla doesn't have a fruit problem. Zilla has a worker problem. Are you willing to get your hands dirty? You have to be willing to get your hands dirty. So in the process of pulling that apple from its environment and taking it into the warehouse, you have to handle it like an egg. And people are the same way. Take example, the drug addict that has to learn now how to deal with emotions that they never experienced before. Because when something would hit them, when the storm would come, their automatic thing would be to consume that alcohol or to shoot up in their arm or to smoke that joint. But now they're having to deal with emotions that they've never had before. It'd be like us going out into an orchard and staring at that baby tree and looking at it and start yelling, get up, fix yourself, get off the ground. What are you doing just laying there? You're breaking. Instead of providing that support for it. Where are our hands? Where is our compassion? Go back to that place today where you lifted your hands in that service. And you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was a week ago. Maybe a year, 10 years, 20 years ago. That feeling that you experienced when you said, I'm going to live my life sold out for Jesus Christ every single day. Because it gets easy to really forget that at one time we were all a bunch of bruised apples. God isn't asking you to be the apple police. He isn't asking you to decide what's good and what's bad. I've never driven out past an orchard before and seen the orchard worker sorting the apples. I've never seen him out there saying, okay, this one's good, this one's bad. I'm going to put this one in the middle because I don't really know where it's going to go. And I'm going to start doing this. No, their job is just to pick the fruit and get it into the warehouse. But many of us still stand out there and we judge. And we say that person's not worthy enough. What I tell my teenagers all the time in youth group is that the same amount of grace that God has given to you, you need to be able to freely extend to others. No way am I ever allowed to judge somebody for what they've done. Because if they judged me, I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't be in this place. But by God's grace, he has saved me and changed me and transformed me. And so our job is to get that fruit into the warehouse. Even if it's bruised, even if it's battered, even if it's messed up to the point to where you can't even recognize that it's an apple. But for those of you that bake, you know that bruised apples make the sweetest desserts. Some of the most amazing people in this room, in key churches in the Yakima Valley, were once bruised and damaged apples. But because somebody was willing to come alongside of them, because somebody was willing to stand and to go through the process with them, they can stand tall today and their roots are deep. And they drink deep of God's love. and they can stand in a church and they can worship and they can pray and they can lead and they can teach because they have willing hands. A lot of us really get excited when that person comes and gives their life to Jesus. And then we get really excited 10 years down the road when we see the end process, when you see all the great stuff that's come out of it. But a lot of times we miss that middle part, of sticking it out through the process, of what it means to make that decision that no matter what this person goes through, I'm going to be by their side. No matter what comes their way, they know that they can always call me. For a long time, I had people always telling me, Abby, why do you answer your phone in the middle of the night? Why don't you just turn it off and go to sleep? Why don't you just, you know, try to just, you know, set time zones for when the kids can call you? But the reality is that I will never turn off my phone. Because if that young lady at 2 o'clock in the morning calls me that says that her mom hit her again, I can be there. Or if that young man that's struggling with that addiction says, Pastor Abby, I just shot up again. I don't know what to do with myself. I can be there. Or if that teen calls, says, Pastor Abby, I'm pregnant again. I can stand with them. I don't judge them for what they're going through. I'm just there being that support. We have to make a choice to reach out to people. They're all in process, just like you and I are. Every single day. And you don't get to stop standing along people just because your emotions tell you that you don't feel like it today. God has given me a heart, given this youth ministry a heart for those teens that are the outcasts, those ones that are the fallouts, those ones that the rest of society has thrown aside and said, I don't want to deal with you. You've messed up too many times. And I can tell you today that in this youth ministry, God has raised up some of the greatest leaders out of the ashes of what they once were. We have some of the most phenomenal, passionate people who society tossed them to the side and said, you're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to be worth anything. But God has given our team a heart to be able to see into people and to be able to see, yeah, your mom and dad may have abandoned you, but I see the potential. Are you willing to stand alongside of people? Even if that call comes at 2 a.m. or at 4 a.m. or in the middle of the day that says, I can't do this anymore. Are you willing to stand with them? Are you willing to meet them? Are you willing to talk with them? Are you willing to have them stay in your house until they can get where they need to be? I had this young lady in my youth ministry in Renton. And she was a trip, 26 years old. And she was probably the most opinionated and loud person I've ever met in my life. She was always yelling at people. She was always laughing the loudest I've ever heard. She was very independent. And when she came to our church, she just started going through her breaking process. Her husband, that she had 2 children with, divorced her and left her with the kids. And she came into our church so battered and so bruised. And I made the choice, along with one other lady, that I'm going to stand beside this young woman. That I see the brokenness of who she is. I see where she's at. But I'm going to make the choice to stand. And I remember, I think it was at least once a week, we were taking her out to lunch. We were helping her out. And it was just that she would just sit there and just cry. And all I had to do was just be that support. Because sometimes what you got to understand is that if somebody comes to you broken, a lot of times they don't need a ton of advice. They just need somebody to listen. And so I would just be there with the tissues and just hug her and love her and just, I'm here for you. And when she would call me at 1:30 in the morning, I'd answer the phone. And she'd just cry. And I'd just love on her and love her through it. And on Sunday morning, they have an 8 o'clock service at their church. And about 9:15 last Sunday morning, I looked at her Facebook and she posted on there and she said, I finally found the love of Jesus Christ. I've accepted him and rededicated my life to him, and I will live all my days sold out for him. See, we stuck with her through the process. We said that no matter what it takes, we want you to experience the love of God. And last Sunday night, they had their youth service at 6 o'clock. She was leading worship. She had a phenomenal singing voice. She was leading worship and she began to cough up blood. And they called the ambulance and they rushed her to the hospital. And she had a brain aneurysm from a blood clot that went to her brain. And all day Monday, she remained in the hospital. And she was in and out of consciousness, because that shocked me first off, because usually with brain aneurysms, you die right away. But she was able to talk. She was able to communicate. She was able to be with all of her family. They were all there the whole entire time. And then Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., she went to be with the Lord, leaving behind 3 kids and a husband. And I was broken. And at first I went through the whole stage of that, just being numb and not really understanding. And God, why would this happen? But Tuesday, as I just sat in my office and I just cried, the Holy Spirit just reminded me that Abby, she completed her process. Abby, I captured her heart, and she did live the rest of her life sold out for me. See, when you invest into people, when you stand with people, you make an impact on their lives. And it isn't to stand with somebody to glorify yourself and for them to say, oh, my mentor so-and-so was amazing, and I wouldn't have been able to get through without this person. The whole entire goal of who you are should lead that person to Jesus Christ. And so we're orchard workers. We have to stick through the process. We have to be there to bear the heavy load that a lot of other people don't want to take on. We have to be willing to stand when they can't. We have to be willing to come alongside of them and say, let me lift you up again. Let me hold you up again. Let me put you into a place where you can stand. I'm willing to sacrifice my own time. I'm willing to sacrifice who I am to see you come closer to Jesus. So the question this morning is, will you be that orchard worker? Will you see with me? Will you believe with me? Will you let this church be known as a church that invests into people? Because to be real honest, this past couple months, it's felt really disconnected. It's time, myself included, that we step out of just thinking about ourselves and we begin to extend our arms. We begin to say, this body of Christ can be great if we will actually get to know one another. This body of Christ will be even greater if we actually show up and support events that happen at the church. The pastors, we're always laughing about that because everybody's lives are so busy. And I remember back in the day when I was here, when I was young, we would host a dinner. And at one point we were having to like go over to the elementary school because there wasn't enough room for people. But there's been such a disconnect lately. So I'm challenging you. How will you invest into someone else's life this year? How will you look beyond yourself? How will you make that choice that it's not all about me, but I want to see someone else through a process, and I want to commit to somebody else reaching that goal? It's hard work, but that fruit at the end is so worth it. Amen. Let's stand this morning if you guys would. My hope and my prayer today is that we would learn how to connect with other people, even if it means sometimes making us extremely uncomfortable, even if it means extending that hand to somebody that you're kind of like, oh, I don't know about that. They seem a little sketchy. And we take that risk and we invest into people because that's what God has called us to do. We're just responsible for getting the fruit. He deals with the damage. He deals with the hurt. So as we get ready to close, I'm just going to kind of challenge you guys. In what way will you invest this year? In what way will you take the time to pour your resources into seeing someone else through a process? In what way will you take the time to not just talk about Jesus, but to display it in your everyday life? That's my biggest goal this year, is that I don't want to be known as a person that can talk Jesus. I want to be known as a person that can live Jesus. I want to be known as that person, and I want this youth group to be known as a youth group that when you walk through these doors, that you feel an abundant amount of joy. This place is not a place where we judge. This is not a place where we condemn, but we just smear them with grace and say, you're accepted here. So Father, God, we pray right now for willing hands. God, we pray for an open heart. God, we pray that you would help our eyes be open to the harvest. God, you would help our hands be willing to pick that person up that is bending and breaking. God, that you would allow us to see a person for their full potential and not what their past says. God, that you would begin to allow us investing into people right where we are, meeting them in their direct need, empowering them to be different, and watching you take care of the damage, watching you restore, watching you transform, Father. So God, stir it in our spirits today, that we would be aware, we would be alert, we would be open to the call that you have placed on our lives. God, I pray that today would be the best day that we have ever experienced in you. God, that we would walk in your peace, we would walk in your healing power, we would walk in your love, Father God. That our actions would speak louder than our words, God. That we would display you in every area of our lives. We thank you, Lord, so much for this time. In your name we pray. Amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.